Howdy, Charlotte.
Hello.
How are you doing?
We're doing good. We are preparing for the first, I think I mentioned in another meeting the dry run, first dry run with NLS. And we have done a little, pre-rehearsal because Anders, who is the Aleph expert at NLS, has, tested extracting all the data and how long he had to, how many hours, counting hours, etc., etc. And but it's gonna, we are testing on Eureka Sunflower. So,
Exciting stuff.
yeah.
About you, Thomas? How are you doing?
I have a Python script that is driving me nuts.
There are no other kinds of Python scripts.
Tell me about it. It's weird. So I have a lot of weird automations on my computer. And yesterday, because I have a backlog of meeting notes and other things I have to go through, so I have scripts that do different things, like extract audio files or run transcripts through AI and all this other stuff, and it creates like MD files in the background that I can put in Obsidian. And I have a script that calls another script that, for some reason, one of the boils is getting transformed into something else, so it doesn't recognize it. If I call it directly, it's fine. But if I call it from this other script, there's something in there that's transforming the boil that is breaking the other script, and it's driving me batshit crazy. Because I can't see anything wrong with
Yeah.
it. But other than that, not too bad. It's a normal day. How about you?
Don't know. I feel like I'm just getting started with things. It remains to be seen how my day's going to shape up. Yesterday, I had five meetings. It was miserable. Less meetings today, so maybe I'll get some work done.
I was gonna say, that's my normal Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, Monday is really meeting heavy for me typically. It's an artifact from a course I took a couple years ago. I was a training course for work that just went on and on, and it was on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It like took up a lot of like the middle of my week, and so I had to push all of my meetings onto Monday and Friday, and that definitely. It's just kind of been a legacy of that time.
It's stuck. Everyone's like, oh, he can only see us on Monday and Friday, so we're just going to keep
Yeah.
scheduling
The middle of the week's filled up a little bit, but my week definitely looks like it looks like a smiley face.
on those days.
That's a good tip. Sometimes you need to have your mental
Yeah.
visualization to just keep your happy and
In case y'all were wondering, I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
Where did I put the glass? I forgot it. What kind of guy? Or I have six of
maybe
them, so
maybe the answer is half full, half empty. I don't care as long as it's got some liquor in it.
yeah, basically. It's weird, like my calendar Mondays and Tuesdays are always packed. Then Wednesdays are actually my quiet day. So I usually only have this meeting, and then I have the Vega meeting. Every once in a while, I'll get a meeting in the afternoon, but not too much. Thursday, I will have a ton of meetings. Actually, Thursday is usually the worst days. And then Friday, it's completely dead again. So it's like it's like a bad heart rate. Maybe my
So,
calendar needs a defibrillator.
a little in the neighborhood of the CDD work, then Thomas, I just pasted in a feature you have written up. And it's a nice example on there was a chat back in 2023. Then it got on the community priority list. as
Yeah.
number three. Yes. And then the conversation picked up again. And this morning, I have three libraries who are, it's not signed yet, but three libraries saying that they would really like to be co-sponsoring this functionality. So I'm getting an estimate from the backend developer, and I don't think it's going to be a huge thing. So, it simply shows that if the community, surface some of these issues, there's also a willingness to go in and say, okay, we can put in some money here. So
Yeah, exactly.
really, really, and let's see, until people have signed the contract then. But no one will say this is something we are interested in co-sponsoring if there's not at least, some intention of doing it.
What kind
Exactly.
of feature are you talking about?
Oh yeah, maybe you cannot see it because you came in. I'll post it one
Yeah.
more time. 2 sec.
I know at one point in time, and if people do want to pick it up, maybe like a chat with one of the Alexes. I think Alex K is the one that was looking at this at one point in time about it, because
He's a
I
back-end
know.
developer. Yeah,
He's a backend
okay.
developer with Vega. Because I know he was looking at it at this one point in time, and there was some wonkiness around, I think it was the effect of location. I don't think, like, I know we were talking around, and we were going around in circles, like, is it saved in the record, or is that something that I'm gonna have to call live in order to produce this?
It's because it has this it's calculated. Because you can have a permanent temporary location on the holdings level, and if you can also define it on the item record, permanent and temporary location, and it then it the calculation trickles down. So that is absolutely
It's
right.
a synthetic value.
Yes, exactly. But I think as part of the request record, the effective location is stored as part of the data object for the request record. And I know his question was like, should that be re-looked at when this is called? They've also, and I'll warn you, like, they have been doing a lot of poking around with slips lately in not a lot of single tenant, but a lot of ECS, which has also touched single tenant a little bit because there were some weird performance issues popping up. So they were trying to squash those. So they've been doing a lot of weird work kind of adjacent to slips, trying to get some things ironed out. So because there's right now, it's weird because like Vega was originally doing the slip work, and then it got passed over to Valeris and Steph, and they right now have a bug, and these are desk slips that aren't printing on a regular basis, but somehow it's also attached to these slips too. I get confused sometimes when they're talking about it because they're like, oh, these slips, so.
So yeah, but good to know. And but this is not work picked up for Trillium. It could be Umbrella Leaf. So hopefully that bug is cleared out and solved by then. And but oh I get a little nervous when too much weird coding is happening, and it's not good.
And
But
when I
yeah.
say weird, it's just kind of like there's some things with LC that they needed to do, but there's also major performance. There's ma can be major performance issues with some of the slips based on the size of the institution, because it is a live call and it's always calling in the background when you load that page. In fact, that's one reason why they put in that option to turn off the search slips function, because there was a few institutions that weren't using it, but they have so many open holds in their system that when they went to the request tab, because it's a background call, it actually slowed down that page for a minute or two while I was trying to make that background call to see if there was any slips for that service point. So anything that adds to that lag time can impact the UI basically directly. So they were actually even at one point in time we were talking about possibly looking at how slips were generated in general and changing it completely. But that just kind of got backburned. So
Don't
Jeremy
mind
has
if
an
I
idea.
share my screen.
Yep, go
No,
for it.
that's get out
Jeremy's
of
like,
the
let's
weeds.
work.
Yeah, we
Yeah.
must. We must. I'm saying it, but I'm not feeling it. But
Oh, yeah, that's been my entire week.
all right. Well, I have a agenda here. And I'm just gonna trust to it and start at the top and start moving down. So, I thought we could review our process and timeline just to kind of see if we're on track for all of this. So, it looks to me like if we look at our charter here, we were initially planning on delivering to the PC a finalized version of our minimally viable DIP on February 26, but that's been pushed back into the first week of March for now, which I think because of the calming week gives us one more meeting here before we're intended to have something to present to the PC. Does that sound right to everybody? Am I calendaring co correctly?
Why? I mean, are we calming this meeting also, or do you mean because we are not calming, we have one extra week?
Let's see. Oh, yeah. We're supposed to calm this meeting. I suppose if we feel like we need not to, we can not to, and I'm open to that. So yeah, so next week and then the following week would be a calming meeting. The second through 6 in March. I think I might actually have to pull up a calendar. So forgive me for having all those events on here. I guess I can shut them off. There we go. All right. Okay. So yeah, so the 18th, we would have our normal meeting. The 25th, if we follow the guidelines, we'll be skipping that meeting. And then
Is President's Day a holiday, a US
It
holiday?
is.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
think I
true.
have it off.
I know that it's a US holiday, but libraries are still open and universities are still open.
We stay open
Okay.
so that school kids could come research the presidents.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes Disneyland,
No, I mean,
Disney World.
was this fun, or was it a joke, or is it real?
It is really a holiday. It's just not one that we get.
It's
We don't take it off,
pre,
so
yeah.
yeah,
Okay.
it's weird. Because it's a federal holiday, but it's not like a full federal holiday. It's like a federally recognized holiday, but not one where postal workers and everyone else gets off.
It's
Yeah.
like Earth Day or whatever.
It's, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then, yeah, so we'd be calm on the 25th. And then I suppose the fifth would be when, okay, so we would actually have one more meeting before we present, because we would have the meeting before. So the fourth, we would also, so I guess that's two more meetings.
So I will be out all week that week.
This
The
week.
yes.
So maybe for that reason, it might be a good idea to shoot for the 12th to present it to the PC. Or what we could do, and this addresses another bullet point, is we had talked about wanting to show the PC a draft of it first before we like bring like the final version and like get some feedback from them. So we could try to get a little bit in front of them, get what we have in front of them on the 5th to get some feedback and then bring a final version to them on the 12th. How does that sound? Okay. All right. So I'm going to, that addresses this. We did want to present a draft to them. So I'm just going to say, let's shoot for presenting a work in progress on March 5th and a final proposal on the. Okay, cool. I guess the answer is yes then. Following the MVP DIP or the NVDIP proposal, the PC to the PC, we're going to be turning our attention. The next thing on our timeline is interfacing with the CC concerning the formation of a community development team. So that's on March 11th that we were hoping to do that. I feel like we might need to push that back. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I think so too. We are a little behind.
Yeah, the con
I wonder about the TC because here I in a couple of meeting I have heard them say that they are awaiting to get specific tasks from us.
Yeah, I wrote that down too.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, no, I'm glad you brought it up because the DIP is included in the TC. Sorry, includes the TC and how and the approval process of most of our formations of it so far. And the draft that I posted today does include a TC endorsement. So it does seem like even though we didn't talk about getting this in front of the TC for approval, it seems like we need to get them to like agree to participate if we're gonna move forward with it.
But they express quite some confusion about what their role were supposed to be. So maybe we need to think about that and be specific, and then have yeah, write up the task where we would need their assistance.
I do the draft that I posted today does include at the bottom roles and responsibilities. Well, there's not a lot of detail there, so we can expound on this and get a little more specific. Okay. All right. Okay, so we probably I'm gonna say the talking to the CC about community directed development team needs to be moved back. And we should talk with the TC about the DIP process. Before we talk about the community-directed development team. Okay. All right. I think then there are some action items here. I'm going to move this to the 12th. That's not, not the 12th of March. Yeah, there we go. And this was done. Okay. And then also, I'm gonna try to reach out to the TC about scheduling a time to talk with them about the DIP.
So the TC, at least the meetings, I'm not going to all their meetings, but some of them, they are very focused on, versions of the tools, Eureka, of course, etc., etc. They are, you know, not really having an eye on development of functionality at all.
Okay.
That's much more the PC. No, the PO actually, and also the PC. I think we need to have that in the back of our minds, what their typical function are, the TC.
Yeah, I do think, I mean, they're still engaging in the tech and the TCR process though, right? The technical evaluations.
Yes,
Okay.
that's correct. And I'd say we could split it and say we need to get there because we have also talked about that the CDD team to take on NFR tickets.
Well, this I think this transitions pretty well into looking at the draft that I put together, because I do think we probably need to get some comments on there for how we can improve this draft, and fleshing out the TC's potential role in the process is one of those areas where it probably needs some improvement. So I'm going to pull this up. And we can just run through it real quick, and I'll add comments anywhere where we feel like we need to kind of stop and note something. I want to start by just apologizing. I was supposed to have this done on Friday and post it for you guys to read, and instead I did it an hour before this meeting, so I'm sorry about that.
You need some
Don't
Python
worry.
scripts that tie into AI. That'll be some stuff for
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, all right, what's on my plate for today? Oh, I have that meeting. Oh, I was supposed to do that thing, you know. But all right. Okay, minimally viable development initiative proposal. This development initiative proposal is a lightweight community-driven mechanism for identifying, coordinating, and documenting significant development initiatives within Folio. The minimally viable DIP is intentionally scoped to improve visibility and coordinate a cross-cutting development work, remain opt-in. So this came up in our discussion, you know, that we didn't want it to be something that was forced on people. Low overhead and tooling native, meaning that we want to integrate with Jira. Avoid premature governance, funding, or execution constraints. So, the minimally viable DIP is designed to layer cleanly on top of existing UX prod and Jira practices rather than replace them. So I kind of outlined that. This is basically a documentation function at this point. And it does not address any of the financial mechanisms at this point. Any thoughts on these core principles or ideas? Does this seem like it's in alignment with what we had discussed?
Looks good.
Yeah. And yeah, take y'all's time looking it over. We don't have to fill the whole meeting with talking. We can just be thinking, because I did not give this to y'all earlier. So. Okay. So the relationship between UX prod and the DIP. UX prod issues remain the unit of product planning and delivery. A DIP is a coordination wrapper used when work spans multiple UX prods, has architectural and cross-domain implications, and benefits from explicit PC/TC visibility. This honestly was a really hard thing for me to come up with because, and I mentioned this before, initially my concept of what a DIP was for was as like a magnet for funding, basically. But because we're not addressing this, for me at least, it's hard for me to see what the benefits are to the dip. I do think they're there. They're a little bit more fuzzy to me, but I don't know. What are y'all's thoughts about this?
So I definitely think we should explain because we have already the epics, and they are, kind of, in the hierarchy above the UX product features.
Yeah.
But I think if you could,
Okay.
the that the core purpose of the dip is also to make sure there is the necessary funding around this development. So for me, I'd say we should not change the current hierarchy. So epic UX product features, underlying
Yeah.
stories, we need to have that. And then for me, it's a little kind of a helper functionality to the side, where we can discuss decision process, some planning, also, and I'd say it would be excellent if we kind of have a, a very a template that is quick to fill out, even when, so we even when work has not begun at all, it should be a very simple one.
Okay.
And epics can be UX prods too. I mean, a UX prod could be, I mean, it's just a category within it's, I mean, it's a project within Jira. So, I mean, you can have different types. So, I mean, what you could change that wording slightly to, and that way it kind of addresses epics as well, is it's that it spans multiple UX prods, including epics or individual stories. Because that way you can attach a UX prod that is an epic that has other UX prods underneath it as this is the main entry point instead of all the sub ones. Or you could just attach individual stories that are UX prods to it.
Okay, I like that. That seems like a good solution. Charlotte, what do you think about that? Explicitly saying that epics can be used in a, to link up to dips. Okay. All right. That's good. Do we want to add anything here about it laying a foundation that in the future could be expanded on to support community funding?
I think so. And I think the other thing is, though, too, is like I'm thinking as well, is like once you have the community funding part of it, there has to be, or I guess maybe it doesn't have to be, but I guess in my mind, there should be a point where the UX prod is frozen when it goes for to that funding piece, so that you're not changing the UX prod and the parameters of what work needs to be done while you're trying to get funding for it. Because you could have a UX prod that's simply like, oh, I want you to add these three fields. You go out and get funding for it. And when you come back, that UX prod is now, I want you to add these three fields, but then change the back end to do this, and then change this, and then change this, and change this.
So
That's
avoid
a
scope creep, because that's typical.
really good point. I think that when in the future, there's a working group that's responsible for turning the minimally viable dip into like the full dip that handles funding. That's going to be an important part of that conversation. But I think it might be out of the scope of, since we're trying to avoid, that's an important financial concern, but we're trying to avoid talking about the financial concerns. Okay. Any other aspects of this relationship that we need to modify or expound on?
Will it come later? Who is responsible for the dips?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that will come later. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Key constraints. A dip must be linked to at least one UX prod. Individual story or epic. A dip may be linked to multiple UX prods. or UX, and UX prods may exist with or without DIP. So just because you have a UX prod doesn't mean that there has to be a DIP based on it.
So it's getting a little messy
Okay.
if DIP is linked directly to a Jira work item, so a story. Because in the Jira dashboard for planning work, all needs to be associated with a UX prod. So in a way, maybe I think, yeah. So it needs to be associated with a UX prod.
Yeah. So let me see.
And
So
then the UX prod is fetching the individual stories.
sorry. I didn't mean so individual UX prod.
Maybe
UX
just
prod
keep it
story.
with no, just keep it with UX prod because that's a feature description. And we do not do the dashboard on Epic level. We don't. We
Oh,
don't.
all right. So I'm hearing two different things from Charlotte and Thomas then. Y'all, I feel like Thomas is saying that there are UX prod epics, and you're
So,
saying that there are not.
no. So UX, an Epic is also a UX prod. So
Yeah.
UX prod 789 is the Epic for inventory. And
Yeah.
that have, I don't know, 400 UX prod features under it.
Yeah.
But for the DIP process, it would not make sense to align with UX prod 789 inventory, which has been for 9 years, all these. It should be aligned with a UX prod. And when we are doing the Jira dashboard for the flower releases, all work is lined up linked to UX prod features. Maybe it's
Okay. I was
would
features.
you I can show you what it is if
Yeah,
it's
I think feature is the word that we were missing. So we have UX prod features and we have UX prod epics. So the thing that we're trying to decide is, can a DIP be connected to either a feature or an epic, or should it only be related to a feature or only to an epic?
From what I heard, I would say it can only be linked to an feature, to a feature.
For me, that would be the more logic.
So the reason our motivation, though, Charlotte, to saying that it could be related to an epic was that you expressed a concern that if a DIP can have multiple features, then it starts to mirror an epic. Because it groups together multiple features the same way that an epic does. So if an epic happens to encapsulate the five issues that you were going to li link to the DIP, then maybe you just link that epic to a DIP and instead of all five features and having
And I think the existing Jira structure we should not change at all. We
Yeah, I
simply
totally agree.
just kind of if you see it like an organizational then the this is kind of a structure supporting the UX prods and supporting it with the purpose of finding funding
Yeah,
and
that, yeah,
decision making.
I agree with that statement. I guess what I'm caught up on is I don't understand why linking a DIP to a UX prod epic is problematic. It seems like it could be useful and keep you from having to relink, you know, like if you legitimately did want five UX prod features linked to a specific DIP, and there already was an epic that grouped those five together, then it would be easier to just create the DIP from the epic than from having to create a DIP and then relink all five of those to it.
A little bit part of it is how epics are used by especially the EPAM team. So for instance, like this epic 5645, which is a new one. This epic was created by Craig And it consists of a whole bunch of UX prods, which are stories that are for individual development teams. So sometimes UX prods are created by the APM teams to assign sub work to other development teams. There's also the Epic, like Charlotte mentioned, where POs will create epics to start containerizing features that they want to work on. So it's kind of like they'll use epics as a pin board almost of like, these are things I want to work on. These are things I don't want to lose track of. And then also sometimes like I'll use epics and other PO, some other POs will use epics to group different phases of work. So like the fee fine work, I have an epic that everything is linked to because all the three different phases are all linked underneath there. So you could like I think six way one way half a dozen another. If you link the epics, you have all that structure already there. You do run the risk of a scope creep, probably more with an epic than you would with a story, because it's easy to link things to an epic. If you don't allow the linking of epics to dip, you are copying that structure from what is already in Jira to the dip. Again, that has negatives and benefits. I mean, you're preventing the creep structure, but if it's something where like you have multiple phases and you want that to be part of the dip, you have to remember to link it to the epic and the dip. So yeah, that's why I said it, six way one way half a dozen another. I'm completely fine with what we could do is go down the route and say the only UX prods that should be linked to a dip at this point in time are individual stories or individual works. And then if it comes up during the process later on, that we keep an open mind to say, okay, later, if this does become an issue, we allow the linking of epics to dips to help simplify the structure for POs.
I'm fine with that. If we want to scope it just to features, UX prod features, I'll just make it, we will limit this to UX prod features for now and not epics. I understand now the difficulty. Yeah, because if I link an epic and then people are using that epic as a container that they keep on adding things to, then the scope of the dip is changing, but it's not visible from the dip. You wouldn't know that it's changing. You're like, it just still has one link, and the next time you click on it, you're like, oh no, there's 30 things on here now. Okay, I understand. Okay. Good. Intake mechanism. Creating a dip. Any UX prod, what word should I use here? Issue, feature, story?
The
Feature.
actual type is new feature.
May opt in to become a dip via Jira automation. The trigger mechanism. A workflow, propose as dip. Or issue action, create dip. So basically, the only change to the process would be surfacing something in the UX prod that allows you to take any UX prod feature and click a button and have a dip created from it. But you don't have to click that button. It's a
So can I suggest instead of having, so this kind of semi-automated function, that it's simply gonna be part of the template we use for writing up a UX prod, where it is kind of, have an intellectual decision where it can be linked to the dip or something, because then you are aware, should I file a dip on this? Otherwise, I am worried that we will have so much noise in the system, all these dip tickets being created.
So this is intended to so I mean someone has to click the button. It's not going to happen automatically. Is that what you're saying? Because I agree with the idea that if a dip is just automatically created every time you create a feature, we're just going to have tons of them and it's going to be nonsense. But the idea would be that when you create a feature, or if you pull up a UX prod feature, that there is a way to click a button and say, I want a dip created, but it won't happen unless you initiate it.
Is that even possible in our current version of Jira to have to define something like that? That might be possible.
I
Yeah,
think
it's
it is for the research that I did, but I have never done
okay.
it, so.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, it's just an automation.
Okay.
I the if you go into any ticket next to the status, there's a little like weird, I don't know what to call it. It looks like an hourglass kind of stretched.
I thought it was a
I
lightning
think,
bolt.
is that what it's supposed to be?
I think it's supposed to be a lightning bolt.
The bad lightning bolt. But if you click on that, that's the automation link. I don't think anyone has access to create automations, so it would be something that we'd have to talk to Peter about and just to confirm that yes, it is part of our subscription to have someone add to it. But creating a new ticket from an existing one and copying fields over is actually fairly straightforward. So you could. Once you do create an automation, when you click on that button, it would show up underneath and it would just be like create dip. And you click on that and it would just pop open a new one. And you can even have it try link back to it or add
So
both.
yeah, so here's the specific things that I was thinking, would happen if you when you click that button is that the summary from the UX prod would get copied over into the new dip, and the description. It will have a status of draft initially. It will, and this is optional, but I thought we could assign a dip coordinator. Maybe the UX prod owner, or maybe the person who hit the button. I don't know if y'all have an opinion on that. And then there will be a link automatically created from the dip back to the UX prod.
Okay.
Do we have an opinion on who should be the default coordinator?
Mean, I have a feeling the person that's going to be clicking it is probably going to be the person that is the PO. And it's not like none of these fields can be changed later. I hate to say it, I doubt very much like copying even over the summary seems like a lot. But it's also a good starting point to change because I don't think the description that you're going to want to have in the dip is going to be the same exact thing that's going to be in the UX prod. But at least it kind of copies things over so you have a starting point and you can rework it if you need to. And if people don't rework it, too.
I totally agree with you that it's unlikely that what ends up being created as a dip is going to stay that way for long. I think people will probably start fiddling with it pretty soon.
But if we do updates in the UX prod, then it's not reflected in the dip. So
No.
then we are having double bookkeeping here.
Yeah, that is true.
There is the possibility, and if you wanted to, is you can have a second manual automation that is basically sync to dip that either copies over this information again or it copies over other information. For instance, the first time when you create it, you could have this information copied over. The second time when you update it, maybe it copies over like things like the dev team, the estimations for the front end and back end, things of that nature, but it doesn't change the summary on the dip because theoretically that should kind of remain stable. I say that with that little inclination in my voice because it probably won't, but it doesn't completely rewrite it over. So yeah, it is possible to have an update to help automate things, but.
So one of the things though I was thinking about with this is that There's not a lot of fields. I mean, the only two fields from the UX prod that are being copied over are the summary and the description. And it is true that changes to the summary and the description on the UX prod without additional automation won't sync over. But the idea here was that there wouldn't be a lot of duplicate data between the two. So you could go and change things on the UX prod, and it's really the important thing is the link. So if you're interested in what is on the UX prod, you can look at the dip and you can jump over there to see it. The only things so it's just the summary and the description. Changes to those on the UX prod will not copy over.
And you may want this, you may want the release copied over. You may want the front end back end estimates copied over. Things of that nature. It gets tricky because if you are allowing multiple UX prods on a single dip and each of them have a front end and back end estimate, theoretically, all of those estimates should be calculated together for the estimate for the full dip.
Yeah, I think all of those things seem like stuff worth exploring. I mean, I will put out my opinion that I don't know if those constitute minimally viable.
No, I think that's kind of further on. And the other thing is, though, too, is the automations don't have to run from the UX prod side. They could run from the dip side. So instead of a push, it could be a pull. So you could, like, for the front end and back end estimates, since that information is held in the UX prod, when you're on the dip side, you could have an automation that you say recalculate. And I mean, I haven't done this, but I know the field data is there, that it goes through all the linked UX prods, pulls those fields and adds them up for you and pops it into the diff corresponding field. So it automatically pulls and adds up front end estimates, back end estimates, that sort of thing. And that might be maybe a better way to do it. I don't know.
So I am still, you know, the more we talk, da, 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 then I am so worried that we are doing this overcomplicated and we are, you know, building a completely new system and it will be so much that you have to double check in the UX prod, you will have to double check in the dip, and double check is has the dip been updated before the UX prod, da, da, da. And so we are drowning, you know. As a PO, it's not just one UX prod feature we are sitting working on, you know, it's 30. 30, and we have many flower releases, you know. We are working on umbrella leaf now. At the same time, wrapping up Trillium, etc. And it is like that. So, can I just show you and let me see how we are? And I can just pull up an internal ticket, and then it's an internal index data ticket where you can see you just use this horizontal line and have, you know, different type of information in the ticket. And we could simply, for me, we could have the template we have already for the UX prod. And then we could have a horizontal line and then it could be dip. And then we have all the ask for the dip. And maybe there's nothing and maybe there is something. And if there is dip data, we could give it a label called set dip as well. So we always could identify what UX, if you envision this as kind of a UX prod feature, that has also dip information.
I disagree a lot.
It's
The reason why is because I think honestly, I really do think that what you just described is actually more work than what's here. Can you pull it back up real fast? So, do you see the little it's right under the eye with the two watchers, the little looks like
This one?
a smashed hourglass. Yeah, right down into the left.
Yeah, this one. Yeah,
So if
I know that's the automation process.
yeah, so if you click on that, there would just be a little button that says make dip, and then and that's all you
I
would have to
fully
do.
understand all of that. I do. But
And
I'm
there,
just, yeah, okay. We just
well,
get so many extra tickets and we have to go back and forth to make sure data is.
I don't think so, because the only data that's copied over is stuff that probably will start change. It just gets copied over to start it, right? And then as the dip, you might, change it, but it becomes like an independent thing. So I mean, someone else even could be responsible for it at that point. It's just a point of creation to get it into a separate, field.
And I'm
And
not talking about creation at all. I am talking about, 18 months later when we are working on things. Then we, so many extra tickets we need to keep in sync.
I don't see the data points. There's not enough
Okay.
data represented in both places that anything needs to be kept in sync. You can change the UX prod all you want, and nothing needs to change on the dip.
Yeah, I mean, the estimate stuff that I was talking about would probably be way down the road when we actually start doing community development and have to do actual like funding for, in order for this dip to be completed, this is how much it's going to cost. But that could fall on the group that manages the dips. And it could even be something that is an automated process that is done in Jira that calculates the estimates and updates it. But I kind of agree. Like I understand where you're coming from, Charlotte. Like you're trying to keep the summaries in sync from this one to this one and trying to make sure that everything is the same, it is going to pull, you're going to be pulling your hair out. I guess my thing was is that I was seeing it as is that the initial creation copied over the UX prod summary that was basically there as a basis for you to even more dumb it down. So for instance, like the one that we were talking about before, the UX prod for 4462, which was the effective pick slips. The only thing that might be in the dip is the current situation or problem part of that.
So maybe
And
would it be better for us to just not copy the summary over so that the only thing that comes over is the description?
so I'm not, yeah. So I'm not so worried about, copying the things over, but I'm worrying that things will diverge and
Can you?
the product owner is looking at the UX prod features and that heads down and that's what and then the dip is kind of going to be this kind of a ghost issue and you need to when we have also a long checklist of release readiness, et cetera, et cetera. And I can see then that's going to be just another thing where you go and make sure you have tagged the dip as well, et cetera, et cetera.
Can you name what field, like any field that you would be worried about updating in the UX prod that would require you to make a change in the dip?
Time
I think it's
estimates.
so the time estimates are not on the dip right now. So you would not have to do that. You change the time estimates, it doesn't, it's that data is not on the dip.
I think in general, we now have the problem that we maybe have different ideas of what gets into the dip.
I think we need to
Because
probably
if
do
Charlotte
one.
says that she's worried that we will have divergent versions of dip and UX prod, I think Charlotte, you would assume that there's information or parts of information that are in both on both sides, and if we just get rid of this duplication of information, then we as think Jeremy tries to get in that direction. We won't have any duplication, and no worries about divergence of information.
And if I'm the only one worried about double bookkeeping, then let's continue, Jeremy, of your track.
I
But
think
it's just, yeah, it's things are complicated already, as you know. So we have to be careful not overcomplicate things.
I think oh,
I
sorry.
totally agree. I think that what Martin said is exactly what I was hoping to try to achieve, is that the UX prod stores all the information. We don't store it on basically what I'm hoping to do is have the dip be nothing more than something that can be dragged around in a separate process and kind of point to the UX prod. If it has information on it, it's different information than what is on the UX prod. So for instance, like funding stakeholders and stuff like that, that doesn't have to do with the UX prod. So we leave that alone so POs don't have to worry about it. We might be able to put that information on the DIP, but we should avoid situations where there's duplicate data between the DIP and the UX prod so that we don't have to update things on both sides. Does that
I agree. I think the one thing you're going to run into is when you get into the funding part of it, you're going to have to know what the estimates are for the UX prods underneath it, because that's going to directly relate to your funding. That said, is I agree, like the majority of the information that's on the DIP, like 99% of it will have, should have nothing to do with the UX prod. But I also think part of what would help alleviate the concern is to say that the product owners or whoever the owner of that UX prod is responsible for creating the original DIP and updating its description, like describing like what it's supposed to encompass. But then after that point, it's passed on to the
the
subgroup
coordinator?
that is managing the DIPs, and they take care of ensuring that like if we're syncing the estimates from all the individual UX prods to the DIP, they are responsible for doing that. It's not the responsibility of the product owner or the person who's in charge of the UX prod. Their responsibility is to create the initial entry, and then after that's done, it goes back to the group that's managing all the DIPs, and they do it. It's their working product. So that might help alleviate a little bit, but I understand where you're coming from.
But we also need to. So this process is not just for the CGD group, but for all. So now we are asking the EBSCO EPAM to do DIPs for all the work they are doing. And
No, only no,
oh, okay.
these are opt-in, right? So you don't have to click the button. And I imagine initially, especially since I'm worried about people having a reason to click it, we're probably just going to have like a few select, like kind of trial runs where we encourage people or people who are maybe involved with a PC process are like, well, we're going to try to have a dip for this and test it out. I imagine most of the UX prod issues in the beginning won't have dips at all. Until people see a reason for creating them and participating with them, which I do think the money thing is probably going to be ultimately what brings that around. But yeah, this is opt-in, so nobody is forced to do it. You have to have a reason to do it in order to do it. And once it's done, the DIP gets kind of set aside in its own workflow. Another way that we could do this, we talked about this a little bit, is we could just have a different workflow for UX prods, that's like the DIP workflow, and we move the UX prods down there. But what I don't like about that is it would require us to mutate the UX prods to support that workflow. We'd have to add new fields and new values and things like that, and that's just noise that the POs have to, oh, I don't need to worry about that. That's the DIP, And so I like the idea of just kind of creating, something over here that doesn't have any of the information, but it just links up that can have any additional information on it, and it can move through its own process.
But yeah, I like that one too. And to be perfectly honest, I think one of the things that's in the back of my mind is that if we can do a proof of concept for the DIP, and this is not set in stone, this is just my big thinking, we can solidify a process for the DIP that uses a separate Jira project that has its own management stuff. This could potentially be a template that's used as well for TC and for critical service patches and that sort of thing. Because right now, as you said, like there's more and more stuff getting piled into the tickets and more fields that's making them really cluttered. If we can pull those pieces out and have them in their own separate workflows that are separate from the UX prod, but still report back, or the tickets reporting back what's happening, it may make it easier for POs. As I said, that's kind of like my big, like, oh, we could potentially do this. But no, I agree.
Well, we're at
I
time.
don't
Thank you guys
know.
so much for engaging with this stuff. I think this is good. I think we probably need to keep moving through this because more stuff like this is going to come up as we do. And the more ideas that we kind of talk through, we can make changes to this document. And it's just it's better for us to, in a small group to figure it out because everyone else is going to have the same problems with this stuff, So if we could sort it out now. And make the document better. I think it'll be better for it. So.
And I just want to underscore that I'm not trying to stop the process at all or anything. I'm just, my own head is with 80 miles in in trying to figure out how am I to do that for three development teams and all these stakeholders
Yeah.
in the sea here.
I did not get the impression you were trying to halt things.
Okay,
I mean,
okay.
honestly, the goal behind this is to create something that is as palatable for product owners as possible, as easy for them as possible. So if what we have down on the page isn't reading that way to a product owner, then we need to fix it. We need to address it. So
Awesome.
take it easy, folks.
Yeah,
Take
thank
care.
you. Bye.
Bye.